Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast. My name is Joey Groh. I'm at Joey G on Twitter. He's at Comics Experience, Comic Experience, Andy Schmidt on Twitter and in real life. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, Joey. How you doing?
I am doing okay. I'm preparing for BabyCon, as we were discussing before the show. So
yeah, babies.
They make comics easier, right? Making comics easier? That's how
they are.
Works.
Yeah, the simplest advice to getting comics made is have a baby, become a parent, and in all of your new spare time, because everybody leaves you alone because you're a new parent, right? That you can make comics. Done. Solved. Next episode.
Sorry, guys. I'm working with my baby. The thing that I thought about was if you're up late and you know that you're going to be dealing with the baby and you were going to try to write something, maybe it should be like that trippy far out thing, like that crazy 2000 AD kind of idea. That could be a fun experiment to go back the next day and go, wow, what was I thinking at 4 a.m.? Not this.
We need more slang like progs. Yeah. I mean, the more trippy. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not sleep deprived, you shouldn't be writing.
It seems like
that's what it comes down to.
It seems like it's the only answer. This is the time to write that trippy, crazy Kirby space cosmic Mobius adventure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now's your time, Joey.
Look forward to the fall. You heard it here first. We do have a question today. We have a nice follow-up from @DeadVicSage on Twitter, who asks, and convention season is right around the corner, DeadVicSage asks, question, if I'm going to a convention like WonderCon as an aspiring comics writer, how should I spend that time? Andy, I don't know if you want to expand this to be more writer, arter, letterer, folks looking to edit or other kinds of production, or if we want to just tackle it writing, that's the one I've got the experience with, but I know, you know, from your past and present, so much of what you're dealing with is all aspects of folks at a convention who are in a similar boat looking to you for advice from an editorial front and also from just a make comics front. Conventions, you don't have a ton of time, but you also kind of have a ton of time depending on how long you're there, if you're going for a couple days. What's a way that you might advise DeadVicSage here to use his time?
First of all, sort of like a historical look at conventions and how they've changed. You know, it used to be many, many years ago that that actually getting a job at a convention was a possibility, and it's still theoretically a possibility. But for most people, it's not going to happen that way. But what conventions are really good for is networking. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of, man, I really like your stuff. Here's a gig.
Right.
Like that just really doesn't happen. I mean, maybe with some smaller publishers that can happen. But, you know, your bigger business publishers, they just have things lined up in advance. They've got people they like. They've got levels of approval. Especially on something like a licensed property, where in most cases the licensor has to approve the people that might get hired. So at the very least, it might be, I like your stuff, I'll pass it on to the licensor and see if I can get them to sign off on you. And then who knows who you're dealing with over at the licensor. It could be somebody that knows comics really well and recognizes your genius, or it could be somebody who happened to walk in the door that day and they don't know anything, and they say no, because it's safe to say no. So the reality is that the sort of golden ticket days of you go in, you show your stuff, and you get your golden ticket are largely behind us. But that doesn't mean that conventions are bad or not useful. What it means is you probably want to adjust your approach. Right, because if you're going in with expectations that you might be able to get a job, you're going to approach things more like a job interview, and you're going to be asking different kinds of questions than if you're really just trying to make connections and set up follow-ups, which is primarily what conventions are really good for.
Right.
So that's sort of the first thing I would say is just, you know, manage your expectations, not lower your expectations, but manage them and realize that. That thing, if that's what you're thinking about, that used to happen, doesn't happen so much anymore. If it does happen, then great. That's gravy, you know, but it's right. Not something I would recommend you go in. So the quick and dirty on going into a convention is really The key to conventions is doing your research ahead of time. And by that, I mean, if you're going to WonderCon, they've posted what companies are going to be there. They posted what creators are going to be in Artist Alley. And yeah, some of those things change. You know, somebody doesn't show, somebody else shows up that they don't really expect, takes a table. Do your research. Don't just look at the lists. Look at the list. If you don't know who that publisher is, look them up, go to their website, find out what they publish. See if you can get names of, you know, staff, editors that are there, whomever you can sort of get. If they've got an editorial team, see what books the editorial team works on. There's things like the comic book I always want to call it the comic book movie database, but that's not right. But there is a comic book database. I think it's just called the comic book database. I don't know why I'm blanking on it right now.
Right.
Which it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And so if it's a fairly decent sized publisher, you can put in somebody's name or you can look at the books and hopefully you'll be able to get an editor credit. You want to familiarize yourself with what books the editors actually work on, not just what company they work for, but what books specifically they work on. You'd like to familiarize yourself with any writers and artists in Creators Alley, what projects they work on that they're known for, what projects that they did that are cool, that they're not, like, may not have been as popular. If you think about, a creator like Dave Gibbons, everybody tells him how awesome Watchmen is, right? But it's not like that guy hasn't done just amazing work throughout his entire career. So if there's something else that he did that really appeals to you, it's often nice to bring up the lesser known work. So you want to really do your research and find out who's there and sort of start to bake a plan, bake a plan when you're baking your cake.
When you're
bake to your WonderCon plan.
You make fun, but baked goods go a long way, I have discovered. taking cookies to conventions, like at my having a table and having cookies there, big draw.
True. All right. I concede the point. I concede your point, sir. But yeah, make a plan on who do you definitely want to make sure that you see. Who's your secondary targets? It's like a military operation. And it actually is like a military operation in certain aspects. Obviously, the stakes are not life and death, or they shouldn't be. If there is, there's a problem. But do the research. If they're publishing a floor plan with the layout of where the companies are and all the numbers assigned to all the spots, print it out. Print it out as big as you can and mark where everybody's located. Look at your list of people and companies you want to go make, and then actually draw out a battle plan. The bigger, more heavily attended the convention, the more important this is. And I will give you an example. I actually went to San Diego Comic-Con one year and did not do this because I had not seen the full force of San Diego Comic-Con at that point. And I had made my list of all the people I wanted to see. I had made appointments ahead of time for many of them. And I managed to not see most of those people. And that is because I could not get from one end of the convention to the other. And so I had planned appointments and things so far apart that even though I left a half an hour or so in between the appointments, I wasn't able to actually make them. And so I wouldn't say the trip was useless. It wasn't, but it could have been a lot more productive for me. And so the next year I did the same thing, except this time I actually used the floor plan and said, okay, well, these people are all over here on this side of the floor together. So I'll spend Friday over there. Then on Saturday, I'll hit this sort of middle section. And on Sunday, I'll be over here. And I'll just focus each day on this, bit of landscaping, this tract of land, so to speak. And it was about four times more productive.
And I think that's kind of the crux, right? It is the amount of planning, which is not to say you don't go somewhere and, maybe your plan is to have a little bit more of a relaxed time. But I think about the conventions for me that I've come away from feeling like, wow, this was beneficial in terms of trying to get books out there and to make connections, and whether that's an editor or whether that's a potential collaborator or whether that's somebody who's a year or two ahead of me in what they're doing in comics, just having that plan to know what you want to accomplish by the end of it, even if that thing is to maybe just go and be on the floor and go and be surprised. But if you're
I'm sorry, just to jump in, that's actually a really good point, that as much as planning is important, I would also plan to whatever degree for things to come up, you know, for you to just walk around, because you can't plan for everything, and maybe you're going to make the connection at a random conversation or at a booth that you did just see and you didn't know you would be interested in, and you wind up talking to somebody, and you want to plan for that. And you know, some people I know will say, okay, well, on Saturday I'm not even going to try to have meetings because it's so crowded, right? And then they'll just spend that day sort of wandering and sort of seeing what they see and what kind of strikes their eye, and get a lay of the land, an idea of the landscape of the industry based on what they're seeing at the conventions and what they see that people are buying, sketches, what kind of sketches are selling, what, you know, what kind of art seems to be hot right now. And, you know, all of those, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can learn from and look at a convention and go, oh my goodness, like I had no idea that, you know, almost every time I go to one of the major conventions, I'm surprised because something there is really popular, and it's probably not the first time I've heard of it, but it's the first time I've experienced like how popular something is. Like I remember, you know, this is several years back now, but you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the new cartoon was about to come on, and there was this excitement and this energy around Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that I hadn't really seen in a number of years around Ninja Turtles. And sure enough, when I went to a convention and I just saw Ninja Turtle stuff just flying off the shelves, that was when I realized, like, oh, it's not just like new, some new excitement. It's like a whole new thing. And then Ninja Turtles just exploded. And you could catch the front end of that wave by going to a place like a convention, which you know, is sort of, you know, it tends to be sort of the leader of the pop culture. It's reflective of kind of what's coming up in a lot of ways. And so, you know, it was going there and then seeing all that stuff flying off the shelves and everybody's walking around wearing Ninja Turtle stuff and all that kind of stuff that I realized, like, oh, okay, this is this is actually like for real a big deal again. And Turtles, to my mind, hadn't been that big of a deal since I was a kid. And now I see all these little kids running around. They all like Ninja Turtles. They all know that, you know, Donatello does machines and Raphael's mean and all that stuff. And it's interesting because you can sort of see those things coming. You can see, you know, if there's a genre that's kind of having a little resurgence, you know, they don't all have to be big, you know, monumental resurgences. And, you know, what's nice is if you start to get an idea like, oh, you know, Westerns seem to be kind of popular again. I've always wanted to do a Western, but I was afraid to do it because I never thought they'd sell. Well, that might give you sort of the freedom to try one. Or you might want to try, you know, on the flip side, you might want to try counter programming. It's all Westerns all over. So the last thing I want to do is a Western, because I don't want to get, I mean, you can run yourself in circles, right? But you know, ultimately, I think when we're creative beings, writers and artists, you know, we want to do stuff that we're passionate about. And so we're looking for when's the right time to do that. And you can come up with different reasons, but going to conventions, seeing what people were working on, seeing if audiences are really interested in something new, that they're like just looking for something new, they don't even know what they're looking for, or are they, you know, do they want to go, you know, are they going, you know, heavy into nostalgia? Because even those things come in waves, and you can get a lot of that kind of, you know, a read, so to speak, on the industry, on pop culture, on the entertainment industry from going to a lot of these conventions. And all of that stuff is valuable too. And that you can get just by walking around. You don't even have to have a conversation with someone. and you can get these sort of, you know, general feelings. I mean, it's not like they're always 100% right. I mean, you know, sometimes it can be artificial because you're in a place where Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was created. And so that's always right. Popular there. And you don't realize that that's the reason why at that show that was popular. But you know, it really is. It's that combination of really smart planning, being really strategic about and setting your goals. That's the other aspect that, you know, was sort of hidden in that we didn't pull out. But have specific goals for your convention. What do you need to get out of it, and set realistic goals? I want to have 3 ongoing series of DC Comics. Probably not going to happen if you don't have a published comic yet. But hey, all right, let's try setting our goals with meet and get contact information from DC Comics editors, if that's what you want to do, from three DC Comics editors. And, you know, when it comes to the conversations, remember, everybody there, if it's at a comics publisher, in all likelihood, they like comics. You've got something in common. You don't have to be nervous. Just, you know, if you've done that research and you know the projects they've worked on, get them to talk about themselves. You know, if you meet, you know, if you meet, I don't know, a Vertigo editor, or you meet, you know, one of the Batman editors, and you know they worked on, dating myself here, you know, No Man's Land, or whatever that you loved, talk about that.
Dark Knight,
Year One. Hey, I love Batman Year One. What was it like working on that? You know, get them to talk about their, you know, what they do. If it's an editor, a lot of editors don't really get a chance to, you know, sort of talk about, you know, their contributions. Like, you kind of don't do that a whole lot as an editor. You know, if it's writers and artists and you know projects they've worked on, you know, ask questions. What was it like working on that? You know, how do you work long distance? You never actually see each other face to face, or do you? You know, what's your favorite way to collaborate? There are all these questions about process, about their work history, about, you know, where are they from? What's it like, you know, how did you break in? There are all these sorts of questions. You don't want to monopolize somebody's time, but, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions and be personable and that kind of thing. And then if you've had a decent conversation with somebody, you know, ask for some contact, ask for a business card, ask if it's okay if you follow up with them over email, or, you know, hit them up on Twitter, or whatever your preferred method of communication is. You know, you don't want to be intrusive, but you want to be, you know, you want to be professional and sort of set the stage for, you know, following up. And often what happens is people go to one or two conventions, they get a bunch of cards, and then they email everybody and they don't hear back a lot. And honestly, that's to be expected. It's after you've met somebody a couple of times at a couple of different shows, or even if it's the same show every year, it just takes longer that way. You know, after people sort of have see you, start to recognize your face, start to recognize your name as somebody who is constantly coming back, you know, then you become more, for want of a better term, more real to them. It's like, oh, okay, well, I've seen this guy at C2E2, I've seen him at WonderCon, I've seen him at Emerald City, I've seen him at HeroesCon. Clearly, this is somebody that is serious about working in. Or even if it's, I've seen them at Emerald City Con 4 times, 4 years in a row. They're clearly, you know, maybe they don't have the cash to hop all over the country, but they can go to this show and they're serious about it, and they come back and they're always asking smart questions. You know, then, you know, it does take that time. That's, you're still building that relationship, and it's, networking is all about conversation. Boiled down, any form of networking on any platinum is about conversation. And whatever platform you're on, that conversation is going to change slightly, because, you know, you can only tweet 140 characters at a time. So you're not going to have the same conversation there that you would at a convention, or over email, or on the phone, or what have you. So it all sort of gets boiled down into, how can you have a conversation with people? And most people, you don't, when you first meet them, launch into lengthy conversations, right? You first meet them and it's, hi, how you doing? You introduce yourself. There's not a whole lot more to it. Maybe at a convention there would be, because you've got the common ground of comics to talk about for a little bit. And then the next time you meet them, oh yeah, okay, I remember you. And the conversation is a little bit longer. What have you been up to since then? That's how conversations start. And what's weird about networking is that something that might happen in person, like if you take a new job and you walk into an office, that relationship to go into a conversation may take a couple of days, right?
Right.
When you're meeting people at conventions or seeing them on Twitter or whatever, that can take months or even years, but it can still happen. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that persistence and the patience does usually tend to pay off if you're still, you know, acting professionally and all that kind of stuff. So once again, our 10-minute podcast has gone long.
But
I see.
But with good reason. And I think your takeaways about the specifics and having a specific plan are pretty key. And that, for me, is how I've approached conventions since. And that does include, like, you're going to be hanging out with friends, you know, after 7 o'clock. Don't worry about it. In some ways, that's almost like the not reward part, but the I'm just going to go have fun and I'm not going to worry about the business part. And keeping in mind, if you're going as a as an aspiring writer or artist or however you want to get into and do more comics, you're going there for other folks that are also doing business. And most of the time, they're there to do it in a fun way. You know, nobody goes to a convention to be stressed out and have a bad time. So I think having having a good attitude about, you know, it's just going to be fun, and if it didn't work to where I meet the Batman editor, that's cool. I'll work around it. So many of the happy accidents that happen at conventions are, you know, those are almost worth the price of admission alone of figuring out, like, oh, you do comics too? Another thing I like to try to think about is having specific topics or questions if I am seeking out editors or seeking out other people, and even if that's somebody whose career you've admired and you really like, most of these folks are just like you. You know, they're making comics. They're trying to make a living at it. They're trying to do it as a side project. Everybody's there likely because they love comics. And if you go at someone with a, hey, you know, I really like your work. I've been reading you for a while. How did you get where you are? You know, what Andy was saying earlier about those specific questions to editors or asking them about titles that they might not get to talk about a lot. Like, hey, Andy Schmidt, let's talk about The Crew. How much can you go on about The Crew? And
what I love that The Crew is your go-to. That's always your go-to for, like, people don't ask you about The Crew. You're right, they don't, but you do. You ask about The Crew's awesome, people. Go check it out. There's one trade paperback, collects all seven issues, I think. Crew's great.
Christopher Priest, and I cannot recall the artist off the top of my
head. Bennett.
Joe Bennett. Oh, my gosh, that's a great team.
Covers by J.H. Williams III.
Wow, what was it like putting that team together, Andy? it is a great book. If you've never read it, go read it.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't put that together. I got to work with them and I had a great time, and that book was it's really cool. It's a different superhero book, but anyway,
it is a really good book.
We have digressed yet again.
I will follow up with you at Comic Experience on Twitter, and I will email to info@comicsexperience.com. Yeah, big takeaways for me in conventions is always have a plan, think about it ahead of time. Like Andy said, there's going to be information. People are going to be tweeting and posting about where they're going to be physically. You can see maps. Larger conventions like your San Diego's, your New York's, your Emerald City's, that's a lot of ground to cover. You're likely going to be tired. I know the first couple of times I went to a larger convention, specifically the first time at San Diego, I just kind of had big eyes of, I'm going to eat all this meal. And you realize, like, I can barely get through the appetizer. There's too much. You know, that one time that you go to something that you've never been, a lot of it is just kind of learning about, oh, how do I do San Diego Comic-Con? Or a smaller show, oh, I should have thought about the show differently. Having examples of your work, I think, is good, and not necessarily foisting them on people. But if you do have an opportunity to say, hey, would you mind taking a look at my comic? I'd love to be able to follow up with you. That's a great opportunity if you have a physical copy to show. And to me, my experience, having actually produced something and holding it and not saying, here's my comic, take it and read it, people are really responsive to, hey, would you mind looking at this and anything jump out at you? I'd love to follow up. Not giving people more stuff to pack and take home, but showing the same kind of convention experience of, well, this is what I'm working on now. Do you want to take a look? Asking and giving choices is a nice thing. At least that's some of what I found. I don't know if you found it differently, Andy. You don't want to get handed stuff to take away, but being shown something, I think, has always been a nice thing for me.
Yeah, I always like seeing progress, whether I'm talking to somebody at a convention or they're emailing me or something. I like to hear that they're doing something new, or the project that they were starting is, you know, nearing completion, or, you know, I always want to see that they're actively doing something. That's always good. So if you're going to WonderCon, dear listeners, be sure to seek out at Dead Vic Sage, because he'll be there too. And you guys should talk about stuff. Talk about the Make Comics podcast and how awesome it is.
Tweet them at Twitter and how they don't stay on topic.
Yeah.
At Dead Vic Sage on Twitter.
I am not going to be at WonderCon, Joey, and neither are you. But
I'm not.
While you're at BabyCon, I will be at C2E2, which is at the end of April.
Which is a great show.
Which is a very fun show in Chicago. I've been going pretty regularly, we've got a couple of panels. Should we talk about panels?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right, we're pretty far out, so I'll remind you all later. But we have four panels that we're doing that Comics Experience is putting on: comic art storytelling, which is on April 24th. Also on April 24th, How to Write for Video Games, which is a panel I'll be doing with one or two other people. I've been writing video games for the last couple of years, and they're really, really interesting. And it's really it's one of those things a lot of people don't talk about, but a lot of people are interested in and sure. think they want to do it. So we're actually doing a panel on how to write video games, which I'm really excited to do because there's so many different aspects to it. Closing the Deal, Everything You Need to Know About Publishing Contracts, which is, I believe, the most information you can get for 50 minutes.
Absolutely.
It is ridiculous how Joe can go through so much about contracts and how to protect yourself and all this good stuff. Joe, who does this with me, and really it's his show, and I just, you know, I'm like his color commentator on this one. But Joe just came out with a new book called Comic Book Law: Cautionary Tales for the Comic Book Creator, from McFarland Press. That's really, really good. I recommend checking it out. And of course, the ever popular Breaking Into Comics and Staying In, which is newly updated this year with some new information with some of the changing landscape of the comics industry. And we're going to have some really good people on that. C.B. Cebulski, Kyle Higgins, Paul Aller, Robert Atkins, the artist, and Scott Alley, the editor-in-chief at Dark Horse. So it's that's going to be a really cool panel.
Woo! That's a great lineup, and I regret not attending except BabyCon. So if any of you are up around 3 a.m., 4 a.m. East Coast time in the next couple of weeks, I will be attending BabyCon.
I'll tweet you.
I'll be writing my new space epic at about 3 or 4 a.m. If you have a question you'd like to hear talked about on Make Comics, email info at comicsexperience.com. Tweet on the Twitter at comicexperience and at Joey G if you would like. Until next time, we will see you either in person or talk to you and keep making comics.
Making comics.